Will the House come to order? Will the members present please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Would the clerk take the roll?
20 members present, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, we're one short of quorum, but we can conduct some of our business. Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, Representatives Pinellberry, Cotton, Collins, Boucher, Pierce, Herman, Navarre, Davis, Copen, and Hanley, Martin, Jenkins until plain time, Fuller until plain time, although I know he's here, Rieger, and Phillips, both of whom are here, are excused today. We've had indication that Representative Frank is in Seattle trying to work his way back after overflying, so I'll move and ask unanimous consent that he be excused from the call today.
Is there anybody who objects to the person being excused from the call of the House? Is excused. Today, our chaplain is Sister Burrell. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy goodness and love. And we thank and praise Thee for this great country and for these people. Lord, we thank and praise Thee because Thou dost put people in power and they need Thy wisdom and Thy guidance. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that Thou would give them the needed wisdom, understanding, and the power, that they would be able to make the decisions that would be God-glorifying and for the benefit of others. Lord, during this whole session, may Thy Holy Spirit move, and we come against every power of the evil one, and we ask Thee to give the liberty and the power. Lord, we pray Thy blessing to rest upon everyone and in the families of everyone, and may we glorify You. Lord, I once again thank Thee for this country, and all the countries are looking to this country, and I know You are working in the midst of Thy people. For Jesus' sake I ask Thee. Amen.
Representative Taylor, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Miller.
Before moving to ask that the prayer be spread on the journal, I'd like to say that Sister Burrell has just in recent months become a citizen of the United States, and as a matter of fact, she processed her citizenship while she was on evangelistic endeavors here in the state of Alaska.
It's been moved that the prayer be spread upon the journal. Are there any objections to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 40th, the 41st, and the 42nd legislative day?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 40th, 41st, 42nd days in House Supplement Number 89.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I move that the body approve the journal for the 40th, 41st, 42nd days in House Supplement Number 89 as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the minutes and the journal? Hearing no objections, the journal and the supplement stand approved. By my count, we do have a quorum present. I believe the board is still open, so members that have not indicated their presence, please do so at this time. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Hurley.
Mr. Speaker, with us today we have a man who was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention, a member of this House of the first state legislature, who was chairman of the State Affairs Committee. He also served on the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission and many other outstanding years of public service. He's now retired and living in a warmer climate. Please welcome Jim Hurley.
Jim, as a member of this body here, would you care to share with us a few words of wisdom? Any further guests for introduction? Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce the guest in Gallery A, guest of Representative Clarkson's and mine from District 12, Ted Wright. I think he's over there.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us down to messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate approved the following citations and they are transmitted for consideration. In memoriam, Lisa Rudd by Senators Vic Fisher, Fahrenkamp, Jaroff, Ziegler, Paul Fisher, Sturgeluski, Eliason Halford, Krutula Fakes, Josephson, Abood Ray, Bennett, and Representative Kopanen. And honoring Mary Lou Hansen by Senator Rohde. The Senate also approved the following citation and is transmitted to Legislative Affairs, honoring the Alaska All-Star Pee Wee Hockey Team.
Those citations that are sent to us for our consideration will be referred to rules for calendaring.
The Senate has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 346, Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the income of the Alaska Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date.
One standing committee, Finance. Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Could we possibly go back for a moment to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, sir. In Gallery B, I have three distinguished guests today that I'd like to introduce. In the back row is Mr. Tom Jackson, longtime leader of the City of Cake. And in the front row is his daughter, Cheryl Yvonne, currently head of the Health Council there. And with her is Mona Yvonne. Please help me welcome them. Thank you.
We have concluded our messages from the Senate.
No, Mr. Speaker. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill No. 28, Finance, second title amended with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill No. 28, Finance, making a special appropriation from the undistributed income account in the Alaska Permanent Fund to the principal of the Permanent Fund effective date and is returned for consideration. The Senate passed and returned House Bill No. 356, an act relating to assignment of group life policies of insurance, and this bill was sent to enrolling. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
We've received notice of proposed changes in the regulations of the Department and Fish and Game, and we've also received notice of adoption of emergency regulations of the Medicaid Rate Commission. These regulations are in file in this clerk's office, Mr. Speaker. I have no further communications.
This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The House Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the following named individual who has been submitted in nomination for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and recommends that he be confirmed. E.L. Red Holloway, term expires 1/31/89. Concurring, M.M. Miller, Chairman, Sund, Phillips, Grunberg, Taylor, and Pettijohn. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 68 relating to motor vehicle liability insurance and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 68, Labor and Commerce, with the same title. And reports it back as follows, and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing Dupass, Ringstead, and Frank. Having no recommendation, Cotton, Adams, Zemanski, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, and Binkley. House Bill 68 has no further referral. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 90, labor relations between school boards and other public employers and their employees, and recommends Dupass, and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Gall, Chairman, signing Do Pass, Kopanen, Phillips, Furness, Gall, and Grunberg. Signing Do Not Pass, overrules local elected school boards, Maru, and Wallace signed Do Not Pass. House Bill 90 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 484, making a special appropriation to the principal of the Alaska Permanent Fund and recommends Do Pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Hurley, Chairman, signing Do Pass, Hurley, M.M. Miller, Collins, and Navarre. Cato has no recommendation. House Bill 484 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 531, establishing the Risk Management Collateral Fund for the University of Alaska, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Navarre, Chairman, signing do pass, Navarre, Davis, Wallace, and Kopanen. Or is that Collins?
Collins.
Collins and Kopanen. Signing no recommendation, Hanley and Pierce. House Bill 531 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This then brings us to introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
There are no bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Before we enter into the daily calendar, our majority today is Representative Miller, Majority Leader, and our Minority Leader is Representative Phillips. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Senate Joint Resolution No. 30 by Ray, relating to passenger service by Korean Airlines in Anchorage. The Transportation Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Cato Chairman, concurring Cato, Schultz, Herman Maru, Furness, Davis, and Pinyalberry. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, and the resolution is before us in second reading. Representative Miller.
I move that Senate Joint Resolution number 30 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there any objection to the advancement of the resolution from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read that resolution for the third time?
Senate Joint Resolution number 30 by Ray, relating to passenger service by Korean Airlines in Anchorage.
Is there any debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 30 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
25 yeas, no nays.
Senate Joint Resolution 30 has passed the House. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, it just occurred to me, I should have announced earlier, that Representative Clarkson is ill today and he should be shown his excuse from the call of the House. It just occurred to me when we took that vote that...
Somewhat out of sequence, but is there anyone who objects from Representative Clarkson being excused from the call of the House? He is ill. He's excused. We have some final action on some citations, I believe. Representative Miller.
I move that the House approve the citations that appear on today's calendar.
Are there any objections as to the citation on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, the citations stand approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Any unfinished business to come before this body? Seeing no unfinished business, we do have here House Bill 424, an act creating a board of behavioral science examiners, amending Rule 504 of the Alaska Rules of Evidence. I'm adding an additional referral to HESS. So the standing committees for that bill, House Bill 424, is Labor and Commerce, Judiciary, HESS, and then Finance. Any further unfinished business? This brings us down to announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Hurley.
Mr. Speaker, due to the fact that the Labor and Commerce Committee has three members on state affairs and they are in Anchorage, if the plane doesn't get in today with Representative Jenkins, we won't have a quorum. So I'm alerting the committee to all the rest of the people, please get there and we'll decide what to do at 3. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce that tomorrow's meeting for Transportation Committee dealing with 436, the railroad caboose bill, relating to a railroad caboose bill, has been canceled and will be rescheduled.
Representative Sund.
Yeah, also on the same conflict issue, the Loans Committee that's scheduled for Wednesday. We will have a meeting tomorrow, but the Wednesday meeting will be canceled and we'll put it together next week. There isn't any other times available this week.
Any Representative Porchel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Subcommittee on HB 470 relating to the release of oil and hazardous substances will hold a meeting tomorrow, Tuesday the 25th, between 8 and 10 a.m. in the Belts Room. Thank you.
Any further announcements? This brings us Representative Miller.
One further announcement, Mr. Speaker. The Democratic Luncheon will be tomorrow, Tuesday the 25th, at noon at Patty's. And the guest will be the guest speaker will be Judge Thomas Stewart, speaking on our two-party system, thoughts on rebuilding public confidence.
Representative Gall.
Just a quick follow-up announcement. I've looked around, and most of our members are present for fisheries, and we should have a quorum, but it looks like the weather doesn't break. We might have some empty seats. Tomorrow we will be conducting our first of two oversight hearings on Department of Public Safety, Fish and Wildlife Protection, and all members are cordially invited to attend. That's at 8:30 down in room 17.
Last call for announcements. This brings us down to special orders. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the special privilege of the floor to speak about brown shirts and blue shirts.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Alaska has a landmass which is larger than the states of Texas, California, and Montana combined. By any definition, we are indeed the great land. And in this land, we have abundant natural resources, which are, quite frankly, the envy of people the world over. I believe it was the attraction of our fish and game resources which first brought much of our population to Alaska. I am also of the opinion that our fish and game resources are clearly a part of the Alaskan character and are, in fact, a heritage that should be defended and enhanced. Mr. Speaker, recent decisions have left me with the definite impression that the management of our fish and game resources are at jeopardy if certain trends are not soon reversed. I speak to the movement within the Department of Public Safety to obscure the distinctions between our state troopers, also known as blue shirts, and our fish and wildlife protection officers, also known as brown shirts. For example, at present, an individual interested in a career in fish and wildlife enforcement must first wear trooper blue for 3 years before they can even begin to aspire to the color of their preference, game warden brown. Mr. Speaker, there are many good reasons why the function of fish and wildlife protection simply must be maintained. We cannot allow these resources to suffer from benign neglect. I believe that existing policies must be reviewed and revised, or our fish and wildlife resources are ultimately going to pay the price. Mr. Speaker, I would like to publicly thank the Chairman of the House Special Committee on Fisheries for his sensitivity to this issue. Tomorrow, the committee begins hearings, which I hope will, in fact, lead to a review of our current policies. The time for such attention is indeed now. We cannot afford to wait until the inertia of practice leads to problems which could be avoided. Mr. Speaker, I would like to invite, indeed I urge, my colleagues who share a mutual concern with the management of our fish and wildlife resources to join in the hearings which begin tomorrow in the House Special Committee on Fisheries. For surely it is that concerns about the management of our fish and game resources will always be with us. And addressing the policies which dictate our ability to fulfill the responsibility in this vital area is an absolute must. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Maru.
Mr. Speaker, I seek privilege of the floor to speak on citations, bills, and resolutions.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, the subject of citations, bills, and resolutions has come up before and conceivably could come up again. I would like to elucidate the matter. There are fundamental differences between citations on the one hand and bills and resolutions on the other. Bills and resolutions effect changes, or at least try to effect changes, in the way the various levels of government operate. Citations do not seek to effect any change in the way government operates, but only to pat a person or organization on the back for doing a fine job. The other difference is the matter of cost. Citations cost money, about $100 each, including $70, to pay an external contractor to write them. The more citations that are requested, the higher the cost. Bills and resolutions, on the other hand, do not cost any extra money. There is no extra cost for introducing a bill or resolution since these personnel are already in place. We are elected to come to Juneau and legislate. That is, to enact or repeal legislation or laws. Each of us is assigned a certain number of staff persons to help with this job. In addition, other agencies, such as legal services to help draft bills and House Research Agency to do research, exist when we get here and remain on the payroll for the duration of the session, regardless of the number of bills introduced. Indeed, that's what we were elected to do. If a legislator is not considering legislation, what is he or she doing? Are we to believe that legislators are elected to come to Juneau and do nothing or just perhaps pass citations? If it is better to introduce fewer bills and resolutions, then the person who is doing the best job has introduced none. In that case, why did the person run for legislator, and why is he or she serving? Please note again that whether 10 bills are introduced or 100, the number of legislators does not change, the number of legislative staff does not change, legal services and print shop does not increase or decrease its staff, and the clerk's office and the House Research Agency likewise while the legislature is in session. This is not the case for citations which are written by an external contractor and thus do incur additional expense. During the 14th legislature of 1985 and 86, the governor, who was elected as head of the executive branch, not the legislative branch, has already introduced 114 bills in the House and 71 in the Senate for a total of 185 bills and resolutions. And he is not even constrained by the 35-day personal bill limit as we are. The next highest figure is by myself at 75 bills and resolutions. Another representative has introduced 37 bills and resolutions, and two senators have each introduced 42 bills and resolutions in this legislature. In history, the overall winner was a senator who introduced 126 bills and resolutions, all of them related to special appropriations or simply spending money. He was followed by another senator who introduced 78, and still another with 71. Of my 75 bills and resolutions, approximately 27, or over one-third, were introduced on request of constituents, including a few Alaskans outside my district whose own representatives refused to introduce the requested bills for them. That leaves about 48 bills and resolutions of my own, all of which are designed to reduce the size, cost, and influence of government in our lives. That was the theme of my campaign, and that is what I'm trying to do. So far, the 14th legislature and the governor have introduced a total of 1,352 bills and resolutions. This is 12% less than the last legislature's total of 1,544, and 36% less than the 12th legislature's total of 2,138 bills and resolutions. Thus, we are far behind recent legislatures regarding introduction of measures. A few years ago, the House Research Agency studied the cost of producing a bill. Among other things, they found that, quote, a calculation of the average cost per bill or resolution is virtually impossible and would not be very meaningful if it were produced, unquote. Furthermore, they contacted the National Conference of State Legislatures, who, quote, told us that an absolute limit on the number of bills that a legislator may introduce probably would be an unconstitutional infringement on the legislator's right to free speech. According to their information, no state imposes an absolute limit of this sort, unquote. However, they also found, quote, many states limit the number of legislative citations that usually congratulate or offer condolences, but the Alaska legislature does not limit the number of legislative citations, unquote. For the last several years, Alaska has had by far the largest, most expensive state government per capita in the history of the United States of America. For this reason, I have introduced a large number of bills to reduce this monstrosity of government which is oppressing the people of Alaska. There is no other peaceful way to reduce government permanently than through legislation. True, the governor can recommend changes in the executive branch per Section 23, Article 3 of the Constitution, but final approval rests with us legislators. Legislation, that is, bills and resolutions, must be introduced to repeal prior legislation and therefore get rid of agencies and their attendant costs. It is also true that members of the Finance Committee can attempt to remove a line item appropriation for a certain budget entry, but this will still leave the agency and the enabling legislation in place. Then, the very next year, someone else could put the money back in, and the agency would come to life again. The only permanent way to get rid of onerous bureaucracies is through legislation. That is what I have attempted to do with my own 48 bills and resolutions. In November 1984, about a year and a half ago, 60% of the electorate voted to deregulate transportation and to abolish the Alaska Transportation Commission. Almost 30,000 more people voted to do this than voted to elect Bill Sheffield governor. Obviously, the people of Alaska believe that we should do more deregulation and abolition of state agencies. Mr. Speaker, it amazes me and to some extent saddens me that one or more of our colleagues in this House may be so confused in their thinking that they equate citations with bills and resolutions. If they really think that, then perhaps they should seek fulfillment in another endeavor. What we need are not fewer, but more bills and resolutions to increase individual liberty while reducing the size, expense, complexity, and onerousness of government. Conversely, we need fewer bills to restrict, to require, to prohibit, to limit, to control, to license, and to spend public money. I invite my colleagues to follow the path of individual liberty and to abandon the way of governmental power.
We are still under special orders. Is there any further special orders to come before this body? Representative Hurley.
Mr. Speaker, I ask permission to speak briefly on railroad safety.
Any objection? Proceed.
The representative from Valdez is having a hearing tomorrow on requiring cabooses on certain trains, and I found it very interesting that the Alaska Railroad is opposing this legislation in view of the fact that in last Friday's paper, Associated Press story, in a year-long safety inspection of the Alaska Railroad, the State Department of Labor found 448 safety violations that had the potential to kill or seriously hurt employees. Thank you very much.
Representative Gruenberg.
Mr. Speaker, I request permission to revert up to the introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce Mr. Ted Wright of Anchorage up in Gallery A.
Representative Miller, we're back down special.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to move, place an adjournment motion.
Do we have any further special orders?
Yeah, the majority leader is still without voice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Representative Miller.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I'll move that this body stand adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday the 26th.
Any objections?